month and a half. I don't know, whatever. It's been a long time since we've said hi to our friend Moses. And although I kind of all recovered it, I want to go back and look at Exodus chapter 3 because I want to spend just 1 week talking about God's name. Names are very important. Although one writer said, you know, what is in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Anyone know who that's from? That's from Romeo and Juliet from Shakespeare. Ironically enough, Romeo and Juliet were never able to escape their names, and they end up dead. Spoiler alert, if you have not read Romeo and Juliet or seen any of the movies, yeah, they all end up dead. Oh, I ruined it for Han. But names are very important. They have meaning. And before my youngest daughter was born, my mom pulled me aside, as she often does, even though I'm, you know, already grown and have a family of my own. And you know, but she pulled me aside and she gave me, you know, one of those nice parental lectures. Dan, you need to think about the name you're going to give your child. And she gives this huge background on, you know, what her Chinese name means and how she is so grateful that her father chose this name and it has so much meaning. And that was all to say, Dan, you need to pick a name that has meaning. Sure, Mom. It didn't actually hit me until I was in the hospital and I'm filling out the paperwork and I have to write down what is my daughter's name going to be. And when I write her name on this paper and hand it in, then that's going to be her name, like, on all the documentation. It's going to be on her social security card. It's going to be on her her birth certificate. It's going to be the name that eventually goes on a passport if she decides she ever wants to leave the country. It's going to be the name that she goes with the whole rest of her life. In some small respects, it's going to, you know, determine kind of like what other people think of her. Some maybe her friends in school is going to determine, have some effects on that too. If the teacher decides to seat you by your first name instead of your last name, then you know it'll certainly affect who you sit around. And you know, since I being a Y in last name, I was always at the end, so I always hung out with the same people every class. But yeah, choosing that name, and as I'm writing it down on that paper at the hospital, I'm like, man, once I hand this in, that's it. It's gonna stick. I better choose wisely. And you think about how all those people who named their kids in the past few years after characters in Twilight. And you know, after Twilight came out, the books and those movies came out and became very popular. The names that are mentioned in Twilight became very popular. So if you look at the baby names, the names like Isabella, or you know, those names that appear in the movies and the books became really popular. And so, you know, just think about these people when they grow up, and you talk to them like, hey, yeah, that's a nice name. Why'd your parents decide to name you that? And they're like, well, my parents named me after a sparkly vampire that was too nice to eat people, and you know, like, oh man. But anyways, names have meaning. Names have significance. And so let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And remember, this is where God is calling Moses, and God is saying, okay, Moses, go back to Egypt and rescue my people. You know, go to Pharaoh and tell them, let my people go. And Moses, in very polite forms, you know, in that Eastern society, you know, goes with the, you know, the etiquette of trying to politely decline. Until all the way at the end, where Moses just flat out says, "No, I don't want to go. Send someone else." But before he actually goes and tells God, "No, I don't want to go," verse 13. Moses says to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" Moses is asking for God's name. Partly because, you know, in Egypt, you know, they've spent hundreds of years in Egypt, and Egypt, like everywhere else, had lots and lots of gods. Right? The Jewish people were the only ones that only had one God. But everyone else had lots and lots and lots and lots of gods. And so he's going to go back to Egypt, that place with lots and lots of gods. And these people, these Israelites, even that, you know, have grown up in Egypt, they're going to be like, "Well, there's lots of gods out there. Which one are you talking about? What's his name?" But beyond simple identification purposes, Moses is asking God to reveal something about his character. Because names have meaning. Right? It's so important for Moses to receive God's name, because Moses is saying, "Hey, you're going to send me back to Egypt, but I don't know anything about you yet. Reveal to me who you are, what you're like." That's what Moses is asking when he says, "Tell me your name." Because the most important thing here about a name is the meaning that goes with it. When you reveal a name, you reveal the character of that person, what that person is like. Less so nowadays, because we name people after popular books or movies, but back then, naming was so important. And so the name is not just a label to affix to someone, but it's a representation of that whole person. So when we're talking about the Psalms, and we're reading through the Psalms, and you got Psalms like, you know, Psalm 119, where not only does it say praise God, but it also says praise the name of the Lord. Okay, so now which is it? If they're totally different things, you're like, well, here it says praise the Lord, and then a few sentences later it says praise the name of the Lord. You know, it would sound really strange to us. But names have meaning. And so we know, if the Bible tells us, you know, praise the name of the Lord, you know to take that name of the Lord and you can substitute it in with just the Lord. Right? It's an equal substitution. Sorry, I majored in math, so you're going to, you know, I always go to math illustrations. The name is equal to who it is. So God's name represents God. And so whenever we sing, you know, blessed be your name, you know, we're not just saying, you know, something written down on a paper, that label, you know, we're going to praise that. But we know it's equivalent to God. So when we see the name of the Lord, whenever it appears in scripture or in songs we sing, we know we can substitute in just God. Because when we say we praise the name of the Lord, we're saying just praise God. Because his name represents all of who he is. His character, what he's like. And so Moses says, God, tell me your name. I want to know something about you. I want to know what kind of God is sending me. The other important thing about having a name and why it's so important that God gives us his name is that having a name means that God is not just a force. You know, he's not the force from Star Wars, but he's a person. He's relatable. That this God who's sending Moses to Egypt is not just, you know, some non-personal God force sending Moses, but it's a personal God that Moses can relate to and have a relationship with. Right? So when you find out someone's name, you automatically have some kind of relationship with them. Even if it's not, you know, even if it's not a really deep relationship, just knowing someone's name, you have some sort of relationship instead of just, hey, you. But when you have a name, then you have a relationship. So that's why it's important to have a name. So let's look at the name that God gives, right? Because if names have meaning, and if this name that God gives reveals something about God, we should be able to learn something about God from the name that he gives. Verse 14, God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now that sounds really cryptic. And some people have said, well, you know, God doesn't really want to tell his name. So he's just kind of like blowing Moses off, like, whether I am what I am, don't bother me, kind of thing. But I don't think that's the case. He's giving a name that is complex. Why? Because God is complex. So we're talking about an infinite, big God. He's got to have an infinite, big, deep name. Right? So it would be a total letdown if Moses said, okay, God, tell me your name. Well, it's Bob. Like, well, I'm like, man, that's a letdown. When you say, oh, my name is Bob, I'm sorry to insult anyone whose name is Bob here, but you know, if you're saying, my name is Bob, that it's simple. Like, it's saying, hey, my name is Dan. Okay, fine, it describes me, but it's pretty simple. Right? It's just, it's Dan. It's just Bob. And so if you have a simple name, it just describes someone who's sinful. Simple. But if you have an infinite God, his name should be complex. It should be hard to figure out. It should have deep meaning. And so God says, I am who I am. Now it has a lot of different meanings in there because it could be translated very, very differently, different ways. Some of you may have a footnote at the bottom. And it says, it could be translated, I will be who I will be. At least my version of NIV that has it at the bottom. And some translators translate it, I cause to be what I cause to be. And all these commentators and all these scholars are thinking, well, you know, there's so many different meanings. It could mean all these different things. You know, not just, you know, I am what I am, or not just I will be what I will be, or I cause to be what I cause to be. It could be any combination or permutation of the above. So you do the math. It could be I am what I will be. I will be what I am. I cause to be what I am. It could be any combination of that. And scholars are like, oh, which one is it? They want to nail down, like, which meaning is it in this particular situation? You know, what is God trying to tell Moses? And I think, don't try to just pick one. God's infinite, right? It should be no problem that God's name has multiple meanings and multiple significances because God is infinite. His name shouldn't be simple and just nailed down on one meaning. So I am that I am. Literally in the Hebrew, it's ayeh, asher ayeh, which is the kind of first person I am that I am, which was what we think we get the word Yahweh from. Right, you guys know that anytime you see, at least in the NIV, ESV, or most English translations, if you see the word Lord, see it verse 15, God also says to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers. If it's in all caps, that's the name of the Lord. That's Yahweh in the original Hebrew, right? And it's out of respect for the name of God that they substitute in the Lord, because that's what the ancient Hebrews did, right? Because God said, my name is holy, it's sacred, so they didn't want to, pronounce it. So whenever they got to the Hebrew word, Yahweh, and we're not even sure it's pronounced that way, because guess what, the Israelites didn't want to say the word, so they forgot how to say the word. So our best guess is that it's pronounced Yahweh or Yahweh. But it's a group of four consonants in the Hebrew, and in the Hebrew Bible, it's all consonants. That's how it's read. It's all consonants. Later on, people put in the vowels to help people pronounce it better. But when the Hebrew people got to the word Yahweh in the Hebrew text, they would say the Lord. They didn't want to say his name because his name is too sacred, too holy. So they didn't want to say Yahweh or however they pronounced it. So they would come to it, and so they would say, instead of say to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, they would say to the Lord, the God of your fathers, even though the text actually said Yahweh. And so the English translators, just like Greek translators and lots of other translators, they kind of follow suit. And so every time you see the word Yahweh in the Greek, in the Hebrew, the English translators have substituted in the Lord, and they just made it all caps, so you know that there's a difference. Okay. Just a side note, how many of you have heard that God's name is Jehovah? There's some songs, or you hear like Jehovah Jireh, kiddie song, Jehovah Jireh is my provider. The word Jehovah does actually not appear in the Bible. It first appeared maybe in like the early to mid 1500s after Christ, where some German person saw the word Yahweh with the Hebrew consonants, and what the scribes would do is they would put the vowel points for the Lord over it. It's complicated. Maybe at some future time, I'll teach some Sunday school or workshop on Hebrew if you want. But basically, they have the consonants for Yahweh, and to know that you pronounce it the Lord, they put the vowels of the Lord on top of it. And so you mix those two together, and you get kind of Jehovah. So you can tell that to any Jehovah's Witnesses you meet. So Jehovah is not actually the name of the Lord. It's Yahweh. It's just Jehovah is a mispronunciation, but it's not going to go away because it's in hymns and places, so we're not going to lose it. But anyways, Yahweh, which is the third person of I am, kind of, I guess people think it literally means is he is. That is God's name, Yahweh, I am. Now, if names have meaning, what does it mean? And we're going to look at some things that it could mean. It might get a little theological, so if you're taking notes, you can write it down. First thing is, I am who I am means God is self. I'll say God is uncreated. Right. Everything in this world, except for God, has a beginning. Right? I have a beginning. We can trace our family backgrounds. I came from my parents, and my parents, their parents, and as Chinese like to trace back their ancestries, and so fortunately, most of the records remain, so if you want to trace back your ancestry, usually you can trace it back all the way back to, you know, the first person with your family name. And so, like, my dad has this humongous record of, you know, the Yi clan, Yi family, and so you can trace it all the way back to the very first Yi. You know, I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive. But what came before him? Well, there's got to be someone before him, right? Someone who wasn't a Yi, and you can trace it back even farther. And eventually, you should be able to trace it back to someone who didn't even speak Chinese. I know that's kind of weird thinking about it, but you should literally be able to trace it back. I mean, we don't have that knowledge, but if we had perfect knowledge, we'd be able to trace it back all the way back to someone named Adam, which is not a Chinese name at all. But we all have beginnings. We all came from somewhere else. So, you know, where we come from, you know, if you believe in evolution, we came from monkeys, and where did monkeys come from, and where did living things come from? Well, you got the primordial ooze, and, you know, where did all that come from? Well, you got, you know, the universe, and you got the Big Bang, and where did the Big Bang come from? And then when you get that far back, then people start scratching their heads, well, I don't really know. But we know from the Bible, Genesis 1, you go back far enough, you get back to, in the beginning, God. Everything has a beginning except for God. So you ask, well, what came before God? Nothing. Nothing came before God. In fact, the Bible calls him, God calls himself, I am the beginning. Right? Not like all of us. We have beginnings. God is the beginning. Right? There's nothing before God. There's just God. And you know, we're not smart enough to figure out how that works, but you know, in the beginning, there's just God. I am. And then everything else goes from there. God is the beginning. I am that I am. No one else has caused me to. No one else has caused me to be. I don't owe my existence to anyone else. I am. And that's just who I am. No one made me. No one created me. No one brought me into existence. I just exist. I am. Now, not only do we all have beginnings, but we all have ends, right? We all have endings, but not God. Right? God said, I am the beginning, but he also said, I am the end. And Jamie read a verse from Revelations where the creatures are praising God, who lives forever and ever. So what we can tell about God's name is not only is God uncreated, but God is also eternal. He continues on and on and on. He will be what he will be. He's never going to cease to exist. This is very comfortable because it means no matter what situation, no matter where you are in life, no matter what time you are in the timeline of eternity, God's there, right? There does not exist a point where there is no God, right? God is at the beginning. God is at the end. Logically, if you know your mathematics, if something is at this point and then all the way at the end, he's got to be in the middle too. God is eternal. He's all the time. That's what it means. I am. I will be. God is uncreated and he is eternal. Thirdly is that God is immutable. That's a big theological word. It does not mean like my newborn daughter who likes to cry a lot. And there is no mute button on my daughter. She just cries and cries and cries. She is immutable. That is not what I mean. I'm not saying God just keeps on talking and you cannot shut him up. That is not what I mean by immutable. Mutable means changeable. So when we say immutable, obviously it's the opposite. God is immutable. God says, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. I will be what I am. Now we're messing with time here. I will be what I am. I am right now what I will be later. This is slightly easier to understand if you're into a lot of science fiction, because unless you think about time paradoxes a lot, because this is really deep stuff. God says, "I will be what I am right now. I am right now what I will be." What does that mean? That means, well, he's always the same. He never changes, right? James 1, I think it's 17. It says, all good things come from the Father above, the Father of lights, who doesn't change like the shifting shadows. That means the God yesterday is the same as the God today is the same as the God tomorrow. I am right now what I will be in the future. I am. It never changes. That's what it means by God is immutable. And this is comforting because when God says something in the past, we know it's not going to change in the future. Right? There's my wife has these a coupon book. And in this coupon book, she has some very old coupons from back beyond before there was expiration dates. I don't even remember that because I guess I never collected coupons from so long ago. But you know, anytime you have a coupon or a deal online, it always has an expiration date, valid till this day. But there used to be a time when they didn't put expiration dates on coupons. And this is like God's promises, right? If God doesn't change, that means there's no expiration date on any of his promises. If God said something, it's still going to be true tomorrow, and it's still going to be true 20 years from now, and it's still going to be true 2,000 years from now. Why? Because God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And God's still going to be there in the future. That means, you know, a lot of the coupons that I see that are in the coupon book are for products that probably no longer exist. So even if you bring the coupon to the store will be like, I've never even heard of this before, and there's no way you can possibly get this because it doesn't exist. But that kind of invalid coupon does not exist in God's book. Because God is always going to be there, and he never changes, right? So this is comforting, you know, Moses. It should be comforting us, because when God says something, in the future, it will always be true. God will always be there to cover his promises. Now, this says something interesting about God. It says that he is also... The fourth thing we learn is that God is creator. Right? I cause to be what I cause to be. That God has caused everything to be. Now, if you study enough physics, you know that time and space are related. Right? We call it space-time because matter, space, affects time. I don't know if you've ever heard about black holes. But when you get close to a black hole, time goes completely crazy because of the density of matter. But it means that space and time are interconnected. Now, who created space? God. Now, one thing that we don't think about, who created time? Well, gotta be God. All right, space and time are connected. and God created space, then that means God created time too. That means this God that we're worshiping this morning is a God that is outside the boundaries of space and time. That's why he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why he is the beginning and the end, because he created the beginning, he created the end, he created time, and so he's not subject to it. He's the master of it. I am who I am. All these things, God being uncreated, God being eternal, God being immutable, and God being creator, all that is all in that phrase, I am, that name. And that's who he tells that Moses who he is. This is my name. This is my name forever. Look in verse, I guess it is 15. The second half. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. That's God's proper name. His I am that I am. I am Yahweh. Now, interesting enough, let's bring this, in the little time I have left, let's bring it to the New Testament. Right? Names have meaning. The names mean who it's talking about. They are equivalent. You can substitute one for the other. And so it's mind-blowing when we get to John. I know some of you have been studying John. Some of you have passed there already. Some of you will get to it soon. But John chapter 8. And here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And he says, Moses, look forward to my day. And he rejoiced. And the Jewish leaders are like, wait, you're not even 50 years old. How can you say that you've seen Abraham, or that you know Abraham? Which is a really strange thing to say if you think about it. Like if I was 60, then I would have a chance of seeing Abraham. Like that doesn't make any sense. But anyways, but Jesus responds, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took out rocks to stone him for his horrible grammar. No. Jesus knew what he was saying. The Pharisees knew what he was saying too. He was claiming the name of God. And so if you meet anyone who says, well, Jesus never claimed to be God, well, I don't even know. There's like so much evidence, and just Jesus comes right out and says it in John. I am. That's the name of God right here in Exodus chapter 3. God says, my name is I am. That's my name forever. That's the name that people are going to call me for generation to generation. Jesus says, I am. That's Jesus saying, I'm God. Right? It's not even subtle. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, that's too subtle. I'm not sure whether Jesus meant to say that. He might have meant something else. No. People were trying to kill him because they said that. No one misunderstood what Jesus said when he said it. And so the wonderful connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament is all the names for God, Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim, all those names in the New Testament are applied to Jesus. In the Old Testament, God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then in Revelations, Jesus is described as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the Old Testament, God is the Creator. And then when you get to Colossians, Paul says, by Jesus and for Jesus, everything was created. And if Jesus and God are not the same thing, then you got a problem trying to figure out what in the world the Bible's talking about then. Because Jesus himself takes the names of God and applies it to himself. So, we know the name of God. It's I Am. And that's, I think that's amazing, that the transcendent God that is, that we sang before, that's holy, 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 that is, you know, so far and above us, you know, will tell us his name. Like, you know, the present doesn't even know I exist, much less know my name. And you're saying the God of the whole universe, the God that is holy, 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 not only does he know my name, but he's willing to give me his name? And in that way to form a relationship? That's pretty mind-blowing. I was reading one article a few weeks back about, I read some of these worship leader articles from time to time, and this one guy was writing about 10 worship songs we shouldn't sing anymore. I'm like, okay, let's look and see what he's talking about. And one of the songs that he wrote about was a song called At Your Name, which I've seen is not in our database. So Jamie already took care of this, not singing this song. But the reason he gave was interesting. The reason he gave that we shouldn't sing the song is because the chorus goes, Yahweh, Yahweh, I love to shout your name, O Lord. Tim Hughes has a version, Phil Wickham has a version. But the chorus, the second part of the chorus goes, Yahweh, Yahweh, I love to shout your name, O Lord. And the author of the article I was reading said, well, you know, the Israelites wouldn't even say the name of God, and they just said, the Lord. You know, how can we take God's name so lightly that we say, that we can sing, Yahweh, Yahweh, I love to shout your name, O Lord. And so part of me, you know, as I'm reading the article, I'm like, oh, yeah, I see. You know, we should treat the name of the Lord with respect. You know, because, you know, in the Old Testament, guess what the punishment for using God's name wrongly is? Death. All right. It makes sense. Why? Because the name represents the person. Right? You misuse the name of the Lord. That means you are misusing God. Right, and so the author of the article was like, we gotta respect God's name. We can't be, you know, just flippantly using it in a song and just say Yahweh, Yahweh, I love to shout your name, O Lord. And I've said Yahweh, Yahweh so many times this morning already. I must be in trouble. But reading through the account of Exodus, I don't think it's such a bad thing anymore. Because the God of the whole universe chose to give us his name. He said, and Moses said, give me your name. And God says, here it is. And this is the name that you're going to call me from generation to generation. This is the name that's going to be glorified. This is the name that you're going to praise. And so, yes, I understand we're not supposed to misuse this name, but I think it shouldn't be out of fear that we just stay away from it, like the Israelites, and say, well, I'm not going to say the name at all because I might say it wrong. I might sin. And then they totally forget to say the name of God at all. I think we should have God's interests in mind, and He's given us his name. We should glorify that name. That name, Yahweh, should be the sweetest name we hear. Like, we have no problem saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Right? And remember, equivalency. Jesus is I Am. I Am equals God. So we should have no problem saying, Yahweh, Yahweh, I love to shout your name, O Lord. Because it's the name that God gave us to worship him. It's the name he gave us to praise. So don't be afraid of the name. Use that name to praise him. But also means when we hear it used wrong, we should get upset. We should get offended. Right? If people are using God's name or Jesus' name as a swear word, man, we should get so offended. It should really boil our blood when someone does that. Because they're taking the sweetest name given to man and they're dragging it through the dust. And right, name equals person. So they're not just using, you know, a three-letter word, G-O-D, or a five-letter word, Jesus. It's not just, you know, they're just floating these, you know, they're not just letters that are floating around and using it as expletives and curse words. Names equal people. They're bringing Jesus and they're bringing God and they're dragging him through the mud. And they're using them to curse people out. That should hurt us. That should make us so mad. If we honor and respect and view as holy the name of God. So let's pray, and let's just pray God for giving us his name, that he's, even though he's so transcendent, he's willing to come down and he's willing to enter in relationship and tell us his name. And through telling us his name, he tells us about himself. So let's continue to pray and meditate and learn more about him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the great I Am. You are Yahweh. And we praise that name. That name is the name that is above every name. That name is the name that is the only name by which we may be saved. So we don't take that name lightly. Lord, we want to glorify your name. We want to praise your name. And Lord, we want our praises to be even more deep because we know you better because of your revelation through your name. Lord, help us to do that. And Lord, may your name be glorified in this place. May your name be glorified in this earth. Lord, may it not be used as a swear word, as an expletive, as something to just punctuate sentences, Lord. But may it be upheld as holy. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.